Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. It's Rick Hughes again, and I'd like to invite you one more time to stick it out for the next 30 minutes. Could be, in fact, it very well may be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This is The Flatline, heard every Sunday on this radio station. No sponsors, because we're not trying to sell anything. We do trust God to provide for the show, but we don't sell any airtime to sponsors, because we don't have any agendas. We simply want to give you the Word of God. That's the only agenda, to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life by giving you precisely correct information, not some useless speculation. This show is not going to tell you to follow your dreams and you'll be happy, because that's a lie from the devil's world. You can win a lottery and still be miserable. And the dream concept that's popped up in our society today is a makeover from the positive thinking concept that popped up about 20 years ago. You were thought to be a bad person if you didn't think positive thoughts, and now you're thought to be a bad person if you don't encourage people to have a dream. Well, God says that He didn't send the dreamers, I can assure you, in Jeremiah about that. But God says there is a life beyond your dreams, a life you cannot even imagine, and it is the Christian life. It's the life that is full of power. It's the experiment that Jesus Christ did in the human body and then passed to you, the Christian life. The great power experiment of the church age was Christ becoming a man, taking on a human body, taking on corporeality, and living in the devil's world, and then being crucified for our sin, buried and resurrecting from the dead, and is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, awaiting the shouted orders to return, to get us, to take us home. But that great power experiment guaranteed that we could have the power in our life. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we do have that power. And there are two power options that we can tap into. The first one is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the second power option is the Word of God. And so when we are filled with the Spirit, and when we take the Word of God and metabolize it, that means we learn it and apply it into our life. And where do I get this concept, learn and apply? Well, out of Luke 11, 27 and 28, Jesus said these words, our Lord said this, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and who keep it. Now, there is learn and apply right there. You cannot apply what you do not know, and you cannot keep what you have not heard. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the last few weeks we've talked about worship on this radio show and the phenomena that's sweeping America today called the New Worship Experience. And then I tried to explain to you how in John chapter 4 Jesus said, if you're going to worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that means, number one, that I must be a believer if I'm going to worship God, and I must be filled with the Holy Spirit, or I can't worship God. I must worship Him in spirit. So the first question is, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? And then He says that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4. And so the second question is, well, what is the truth? What exactly is truth? And if we answer these two questions today, it'll be a miracle. But let's talk about it just for a minute. Remember that this show is called The Flotline, F-L-O-T. And flot stands for the forward line of troops. The whole concept behind this show is you taking the Word of God, learning it and applying it and putting it into your life so that you're able to stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. We are teaching you basically the problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. And we're also trying to orient you to the protocol plan of God. By doing these two things, I hope I can identify positive volition. I hope I can identify people that want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just people that say, well, that was nice. I enjoyed that. But sometimes I like to hear people say, I've never heard that before. Where did you get that? How can I get more of that sort of information? This is what I need. I'm growing. I'm learning something. Finally, that's the person I'm looking for. So if you're that person, then hang on, because these 10 problem-solving devices are the power of God in your life as a believer. This is what sustained Jesus Christ during his tour on earth in the great power experiment of the church age. Except for the filling of the Holy Spirit, you see, because he never sinned, he never once needed to rebound. And that is our first problem-solving device. Jesus Christ, our Lord, never sinned, and he was able to go to the cross as the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish that takes away the sin of the world. However, we sin every day. We are sinners, and we do sin. And we sin, mental attitude sins, yes, by things that we think. And we sin sins of the tongue by things that we say. And we sin overtly by things that we do. And as believers, we sin daily. And thus the need for us to deploy and use the very first problem-solving device found in the Bible. And that is rebound. Rebound is a phrase that was coined by my pastor years ago. And it is simply a technique for you resuming your spiritual life after you have shut it down because you voluntarily sinned and stepped out of the will of God. Now, a lot of times you may think that I didn't sin that big of sin. Well, unfortunately, our God is a God of specifics and he is a God of requirements. He requires, specifically, he requires certain things from us. And when we sin, we always break fellowship with God. That's the consequences of sinning. So if God's a God of specifics and consequences, specifically he says, this is the way we're to live, and if we don't live that way, then we suffer the consequences. That's why the Bible says if we sow to the wind, we're going to reap the whirlwind. And so specifically, does the Bible identify how the believer is to live his life in the daily agona, the daily world of contention, the agona, the ring of contention? How am I supposed to live my life? I am supposed to live it, the Bible says, not under control of the flesh, but under the filling of the Spirit. This is taught in Ephesians 5:18, where we have a mandate from God, do not be drunk with wine. That's an analogy because wine is a controlling factor when you're drunk. But rather be filled with the Spirit. There's the mandate. Be filled. Pleroo in the Greek New Testament is a verb of imperative order. It is not a request. This is a mandate. And God is telling you that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you must be filled with the Spirit. This is a great controversy in the church because a lot of people will tell you that you cannot be filled with the Spirit until after you're saved, and then you have to demonstrate it by certain weird spiritual gifts. Well, let me explain something to you. When you believe in Jesus Christ, as I did, I was 22 years old when I made the decision to accept him as my Savior. And it really wasn't much of a decision once I heard the alternative. I prayed a simple prayer. I asked God to save me. And I told God that I was willing to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, when I did that, my problems did not go away. Yes, I entered the plan of God. Yes, I received 40 different things the minute I prayed that prayer, at least 40. One of those was eternal life. Never would I ever lose it again. Because Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so I knew that once I accepted Christ, I had eternal life, and I would go to heaven. But I did not know the battle that awaited me in the future. For the first few weeks, I coasted along on emotions, and it was an amazing transformation in my life because I had a new hunger and a new desire, and I had a new environment of people that I hung around with. And then I went back to college. I had dropped out of college. I had dropped out of the University of Alabama, where I had been playing football. But now, 3.5 years later, here I am going back to college, and back to, of all things, a Bible college. And of all things, at the Bible college, I found my sin nature was alive and well. I had always had problems in certain areas of my life, and since I have this sin-infused human nature, these problems are still there. They haven't gone away, not until I get my resurrection body. Then when I get rid of this corrupted human body, I won't have this sin nature to burden me. But I had to learn that that sin nature could be fired up in a moment's notice. And when I got into Bible college and I began to get under pressure and I began to experience temptations, my old sin nature fired right back up, and it was almost as if I had never even been saved in some situations. Almost as if my old sin nature was on steroids or something. I mean, how do I control this? And there was at least a year of lag time in my life when I was searching and trying to find the answer to this. And I would go to conferences and I would ask people, how do you get filled with the Spirit? How do you get controlled by the Spirit? I mean, I heard about it and I read it. And a couple of the conferences that I went to, the guys, they gave about 10 or 12 things you should do, and then you could buy their book and take it home and read it. And I knew inherently that wasn't correct. I couldn't do all 10 or 12 of those things. And besides that, I didn't have the $20 to buy their book. But eventually, God in His faithfulness, as He has done for you, He may be doing that for you right now. God led me to the truth. And I discovered that in order to be filled with the Spirit, the only thing that I had to do was to rebound. Problem-solving device number one in the Christian life. And that rebound technique is found in 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. You see, I was in the relationship with God. That didn't change. I was in the royal family of God, but I could get out of fellowship with God every day by sinning. And when I did get out of fellowship with God, I always allowed my old sin nature to control my life. And, you know, I knew, everybody kind of knows, when you do bad, you're supposed to ask God to forgive you, but nobody knows, very few know, or I didn't know. Let me be more clear about that. I didn't know that's how I recovered the filling of the Spirit. I did not know that when I got saved, 40 different things happened to me. And out of that 40, at least 5 of them the Holy Spirit did. I did not know that He sealed me until the day of redemption. I did not know that He indwelled me. I did not know that He filled me. I did not know that He regenerated me. I did not know that He gave me my spiritual gift. And there are 5 things He does right there. And I don't lose the sealing or the indwelling, but I do lose the filling. When I sin, I quench and I grieve the Holy Spirit. And I am not controlled by the Holy Spirit, thus I'm not filled. But when I come to God, as per 1 John 1:9, and rebound or confess my sin to God, then He's faithful and just to forgive me and even purify me from all of my wrongdoing. And now I'm able to resume my spiritual life. And sometimes this would happen, and even today, it can happen multiple times every day. But I learned that I should not wait until I go to bed at night to tell God my sins I did that day, that I should tell Him immediately. Immediately, when I knew I had sinned, I should stop and identify it right there, because I was quenching the Spirit of God and grieving the Spirit of God by not doing so. I really didn't know how simple the filling of the Holy Spirit is, because I heard complex answers to a simple question. And I am telling you today, based on the Scriptures, that this is the simple doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit right now, and He has set up within you a tabernacle or a tent that is indwelled by the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. He lives in you if you are a believer. But the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved, and He cannot do His job with unconfessed sin in your life. So you must go to God and identify the sin. And by the way, the Bible says if we confess our sin. It didn't say if we repent of our sin. 1 John 1:9 doesn't use the word repent, which could be one of three different Greek words. It could be repent, could be metanoia, metamelami, or metanoeo. The word used there is none of those three. If we confess is the Greek word homologeo, and that word means to agree with God concerning what we did, to tell God precisely what we did. And so if you lied when you rebound, you go to the Father and you say, Heavenly Father, I have just lied. Heavenly Father, I have just lusted. Heavenly Father, I have just whatever. And when you do that, this resumes your spiritual life. And this allows the Holy Spirit to regain control of your life. And this is why the Bible says there's a battle every day in Galatians for your soul. Every day the old sin nature is trying to resume control. And every day the Holy Spirit is seeking to remain in control. And you, God gave you a chooser. God gave you a decider. It's called your volition. And every day you are responsible for who controls your life. And if you get unconfessed sin in your life, you're going to walk in the flesh, you're going to be carnal, and the Holy Spirit will be grieved and quenched. But if you confess your sin, when you do it immediately, then the Holy Spirit will not be quenched and will not be grieved. And you can resume the filling of the Holy Spirit, even though you momentarily stepped out of it by committing sin. You must understand this. This is a totally misunderstood doctrine in the church age today. Many religions don't teach this. Many religions teach it some kind of second blessing. And many religions teach you that you've got to get it with the evidence of other things that go with it. This is not what the Bible teaches. And yet, these are some of the fastest growing religions because it's sensationalism. I've talked to you about that on this radio show. There are tremendous, exciting times in these organized religions that teach this sort of information. But remember that our Lord said, if you're going to worship, you must worship in spirit and in truth. And so, could I ask you a question? When you go to a dynamic worship service, as it is called, not by me, but by others, when you go to this dynamic worship service, does anyone explain to you what I just told you? Does anyone tell you how to be filled with the Spirit? Or is it suggested that if the music is played loud enough and long enough, and if the rhythm is intense enough, that you will get in the Spirit and you will start to feel God and you will have a great worship experience because you'll let yourself go? Is that what you've seen? Has some pastor stood up there and said, wait now, before we start all of this singing, and before we start all of this clapping, and before we start all of this hand raising, let's make sure that everyone in here is, number one, a believer, and number two, that you're filled with the Spirit, because all this singing and hand clapping is not going to fill you with the Spirit? Or have they told you that this will prepare you to be filled with the Spirit? And then after the singing and the clapping and the great emotional experience, they ask you to come forward and get and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the danger. It's totally, totally, totally opposite of what the Word of God teaches. It doesn't come at the end of a worship service, at the end of a great, exciting, emotional time. comes as you decide in your own soul that you're going to rebound and confess your sin to God. And that's how you walk in the Spirit every day. Day after day, moment after moment, you keep a short list on sin in your life. And when you sin, it's as if you stop walking. The Bible uses the word peripatao for the word walk. And that means your lifestyle. And what the Bible is telling you is that your lifestyle is to be a Spirit-induced lifestyle that reflects love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, mercy. These are the character assets of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you take on His character assets, and you, in fact, represent Christ to your generation. As a church, you may represent Christ in your body of worship, but as an individual, you represent Christ in your daily life. There's a big difference between those two things. And without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you cannot worship God. And the second thing our Lord said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 is those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that it's possible to worship God in a lie. If He said that, it's possible to say, well, I can worship God not in the truth, but in the lie. Well, what is the lie? The lie is very simply organized religion. It is the devil's ace trump in the hole. It is the game that Satan plays called human good. And organized religion is the most evil thing the world has ever known. Because it is man trying to approbate God by means of his own power experiment. It's you trying to be good enough to earn your way to heaven. It's you saying, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't say bad words, and I don't go to R-rated movies, and so I'm good enough to come to heaven. Listen to me carefully. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in that day, referring to the great white throne of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And Lord, Lord, in your name did I not cast out devils? And Lord, in your name did I not do many wonderful works? And he said, I'm going to tell them I never knew you. It is very possible that you could be the member of a local church and not be saved. It is very possible that you could be a pastor in a local church and not be saved. Because you did not come on faith alone in Christ alone. You see, the truth of the matter is this, that the only way we can be saved is through faith alone in Christ alone. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is a gift from God and not of works, lest any man would boast about it. The unique thing about the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is that on that cross, all of our sins were imputed to Him. Every sin we ever did, and that was paid for. All of our sins were judged in Him. They were paid for. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. We cannot pay for our own sins. He paid the price. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and when we admit that we're sinners and we want to receive Him as our Savior, bingo, wham, it happens right there in the twinkling of an eye. That is the most phenomenal, life-changing experience that could ever take place when you come before a holy God and you admit your sin and say, I am willing to believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and I'm accepting Him as my Savior. That is amazing. Because that is when the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You become a member of the royal family of God. You become a new racial species. Not black, not white, not red, but Christian, in the family of God, a new racial species. And that is the person that goes to heaven. That is the truth of salvation. You are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not by something you do. Not by some lifestyle that you live. And when it gets to the second stage of this thing, now that I'm saved, what does God expect out of me? Well, two things. Number one, that you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the rebound technique. And number two, that you grow to spiritual maturity, just like physically you grow to human maturity. Spiritual life requires growth. And that's why the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. Well, how do I grow? Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So obviously, you grow as you study the Bible. Well, how do I study the Bible? Do I just get the Bible out and start to read it? No, God equipped men with a gift called the gift of pastor-teacher, poimen kai didaskalos, in the Greek New Testament of Ephesians chapter 4. And it is the job of these specially equipped men to study the Word of God and teach it to you and make you rich spiritually. That's their job. And you will never grow to be a mature believer until you identify who that pastor is and until you sit under this man on a consistent basis and learn and apply God's Word into your life. Because if you think you're going to grow to spiritual maturity by reading the Bible through once a year and by doing a daily morning devotion, you're sadly mistaken. That is not going to happen. Therefore, if it could, God would not have equipped these men with the gift of pastor-teacher. They have a job to do. And it is their job not to run around and hold your hand when you're sick and not to call you up on the phone and check on you and make sure you're behaving, but to get in that pulpit and accurately teach the Word of God. That's why Jeremiah says, he that has my word, let him proclaim it. That is what God expects. And this is how you grow up. This is how you become a mature believer. This is how you represent Jesus Christ to your generation and take on his character assets by learning what they are and applying them into your life and learning how to let the Holy Spirit control your life consistently every day. So when our Lord told this woman that no one can worship God unless they worship him in spirit and in truth, you just heard it. This is how it takes place. It must take place under the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it must take place as the truth is taught and applied. Happiness belongs, Jesus said, to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Luke 11:27-28. That is how you worship God. You stay filled with the Spirit. You hear God's word. You apply it into your life. You grow, assume the character assets of Christ, and represent him to your generation. That's why God left you here, to be that Christ-like individual. And yet today, that has all been short-circuited. Today, that's all been cast aside by the Good Time group, by the rock and roll Christianity group that tells you that this is the genuine, real worship experience. Wrong. Stay away. It will take you where you don't belong. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.